Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Ah, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And oh, did we talk about it? We had a special Let's Talk About It Tuesday church folk day. We had our girls segment, Pastor Charlene Beard, our Lady Tamika Evans-Jones, and our girl Shanteach from the Switch Tip. And oh, we talked about the small-minded Christian. Yes, we sure did. You know, it's a lot to be said about how we as Christian people think on such a small level. Yes. You know, God is really pressing us to move, to grow, to build. Yes, we can't stay the same way all the time. Yes, we can't. You know, imagine being a baby Christian forever. No, we can't be. You know, listen. We have been told in the Word of God that, you know, we as baby Christians need to drink milk. And then we need to grow into the hearty food. Yes. So we got to make sure we don't stay closed-minded. But we got to make sure we are always moving and growing to the beat of God's drum, not to the beat of our drum. How in the world are we going to bring and draw Christians and build Christians and teach other people? Okay, well, we're going to come back to that as we have an early segment today of the Socially Conscious segment. Let's say good morning to our girlfriend, Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed your vacation.
Well, I surely did, my girl. I surely did. Thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. Oh, you know, we have to get that little socially conscious segment in early today. And most of our listeners won't even hear the story. But listen, that's why you got to turn on that 7 o'clock, right?
All right. Yep.
All right. What you got for us today, Viv?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers. Top 5 states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are Number one is Texas with 126,634 cases reported in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 28,000 cases. Florida is number two with 114,539 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 36,000 cases since the last time we reported. California is number three with 49,106 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 4,000 cases since last time we reported. Ohio is number four with 42,156 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 35,000 cases since last time we reported. No, since Ohio was in our top five, which was back in May. Georgia is number five with 40,653 cases. That is an increase of over 8,000 cases since the last time we reported. So as we can see, Texas is now in that number one spot, and Florida has seen decreases for the last 3 weeks. So good for Florida. But unfortunately for Florida, they are saying that the COVID denial that goes on out there is causing a shortage of police. We know that Governor Ron DeSantis is very foolish when it comes to the rules and regulations regarding mask mandates. He is absolutely against them and has even gone as far as to defund school districts that have gone against him and mandated masks. A judge has recently ruled that Governor DeSantis has no legal standing to ban masks in the state. According to reports, over 150 police officers are down and out due to COVID positive test results. 29 police officers have died due to COVID in Florida in the past few weeks. And leaders are strongly urging everyone, not just the police, but everyone, to be vaccinated if you haven't already. And not to listen to politicians, but to listen to the doctors who are urging that you get vaccinated as well as wear your mask. But I guess with the COVID numbers going down in Florida, it'll be even harder to convince Floridians to put their mask on and to get vaccinated. Excuse me. While we are on the topic of COVID and vaccines, reports say that booster shots could start September 20th. According to reports, we know that the FDA has approved only Pfizer for a vaccine, and therefore Pfizer will be the only vaccine that is likely to be approved for booster shots. They are saying that not enough research has been done as to what happens when you mix your vaccines, meaning if you had Johnson & Johnson and you go ahead and you get the Pfizer as a booster shot, there's not enough research to know if that is safe or not. So reports are saying that the FDA is set to consider them starting September 17th. And if the FDA does give booster shots the green light by September 20th, they are recommending that if your second dose was given on or before January 20th, 2021, that you should prepare to get the booster shot starting September 20th. And if you have not heard, mask mandates are back in place. I know in Pennsylvania, which is where I live, it is mandatory that you wear a mask in the schools when you are indoors. All staff and students 2 years and over. So I was definitely not looking forward to fighting with these younger children about keeping their mask on their face. And I know many teachers aren't. But one teacher might have taken things a little too far when he allegedly taped the mask to the student's face in Las Vegas. Reports say that a Las Vegas mother is calling for a substitute teacher to resign after he allegedly taped students' masks on their face in his fourth grade classroom. The mother is saying that her child got up to get a drink of water. When he came back, he forgot to put his mask back on his face. She said the teacher did not tell him to put it back on his face or send him to the office, but instead the teacher pulled the boy, who is 9 years old, up to the front of the classroom and then taped the mask to the boy's face. The mom says she asked the child if the other children had their mask taped on their face as well, and the boy replied yes. and that it has been happening in this classroom since the beginning of the school year. There is currently an investigation underway. We also have an update on the Ahmaud Arbery story. Reports say that former district attorney Jackie Johnson has been indicted on charges of violating her oath of office and obstructing a police officer in connection with the investigation into the killing of Arbery, saying that Johnson ordered an investigating officer to stand down and she tried to prevent the arrest of the alleged shooter, Travis McMichaels. She also is being charged for showing favoritism to the other defendant, the father, Gregory McMichaels, because of their past relationship. A judge has declared also that Ahmaud Arbery's past has no legal standing in the trial and will not be allowed to be brought up during the trial. So that is wonderful news. Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and William Bryant Jr. are set to go on trial October 18th. And now for our wow story of the week, which is a listener-submitted story. Nicole Aguilar, who is 25, and her boyfriend Daniel Garcia, who is 26, has been arrested and charged of child abuse resulting in death. This Florida couple who was staying in a hotel in Texas where Daniel Garcia beat Aguilar's 5-year-old son, hitting him so hard he flew into a wall, vomiting up black and brown liquid. This injury took 5-year-old Dominic Acevedo's life. The couple then drove to a campsite in Colorado and buried Dominic's body and fled to Costa Rica. The so-called mother said she stood by and did nothing to stop Garcia from hurting her child because she was too eager to be in a relationship. She did not want to be single. Reports say that Nicole allegedly told her mother what had happened to Dominic, and it was her mother who contacted San Antonio police and the FBI on August 25th. Aguilar and her mother took the FBI agents to the campsite where they buried Dominic's body. During the interview with the Texas the sheriff, Aguilar allegedly said she and her boyfriend Garcia did not report the boys' injuries because they did not want to lose custody of their other children. We know that she has at least one other child, a daughter who is 4 years old. Now, we have all put up with some crazy things in order to stay in romantic relationships with someone we know good and well we shouldn't be with. But this one definitely takes the cake. To allow your boyfriend to abuse your child because you don't want to be single, that's just ridiculous. And yes, I know this is definitely nothing new, but it's still sad nonetheless. This has been Vivian with The Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook page. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. A very deep thank you to all those who send in stories. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. Thank you, Vivian. What I got, like 1 minute with you? So I want to talk about this story, this wow story. You know, like you said, you know, we've all done some crazy things to either be in a relationship, to get into a relationship, to maintain a relationship. But when you admit that you allow, I think this is the first time, you know, yes, this is not the first time we've heard of this kind of stuff happening, Viv, but I think this is the first time we've heard of a mother admitting that she allowed this level of abuse that, you know, resulted in death to, you know, and blamed it on, I want to be in a relationship. Lord, if everybody took those channels to be in a relationship, oh, what would this world be like? Oh, my goodness gracious. Right. Where did this take place?
In Texas? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. And then you told your mom?
Right.
Oh, Vivian, what's going on, girl? What's going on? Did they say how old these people were?
She was 25 and he was 26, I believe.
Wow. Well, Viv, you never seem to stop bringing us the news. Well, thank you so much for our segment of Socially Conscious this morning. You know, some of our listeners are going to miss it, but we got to log on at 7 if we want to catch it all.
They can always
morning.
Go back and listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They don't have to miss it forever. They just miss it live. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. And glad to hear your voice again.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. Ah, what are we going to do in this world of madness? It's crazy, isn't it? You know, let's think here. Let's talk about, you know, the things we do. I mean, how important is a relationship to you? How important? You know, we talked about being a small-minded Christian yesterday, but, man, this brings small-minded to a whole new level. What do you think? I think so. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. You know, I got to go back to doing my recap from yesterday. You know, we had our special edition of, yes, yeah, you're back there. Got to get back there. You know, we had our special edition of Church Folk, like I was saying, and our three ladies held it down nicely as we talked about that small-minded Christian. And, you know, there's a call, you know, a challenge that has been put out there, especially for us due timers. You know, for the past few months, I've been saying, you know, that God is challenging us to, you know, step up, step up, step up. You know, we want to be called children of the King. We want to be called Christians. We want to be recognized as people who are different in this world. But what are we really doing to be different? What are we doing? Come on, come on, come on. What are we doing to be different? You know, are we showing people that we don't have to do what everyone else does? Are we choosing to do things differently today, you know, than we did other days? Are we showing people that we're not who we used to be? You know, can people look at us and see Jesus in us? That's what God has been questioning. You know, my people, stand up. My people, stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Stand up. And we don't always have to stand up and even open up our mouths. No, we don't. Because if we are living that lifestyle, the Bible says, live so that all men may see Jesus in you. Yeah, that's, you know, a tall order these days. Yeah, it's not so easy these days for people. Because this world has really made this world seem so appealing, and it draws people. You even hear, you know, some of us talking about, you know, how much we love to do this or we love to do that. And I'm just trying to figure out, then how did we step out of the world? Have we stepped out of the world? I don't know. I don't know. I think we need to definitely do some checks and balances. We need to find out why we're still drawn to certain things. Yeah. I don't think it's okay to be drawn to certain things and just shrug it off and be okay with it. You know, I'm human. You know, I can, you know, that's what I've heard. That's what I've been told. I'm human. You know, I can be drawn to stuff as long as I don't, you know, do it. Well, I'm sorry. I don't agree. I don't agree that it's safe to be drawn to things. Can you be drawn to things? Absolutely. But I don't think it's safe. Because when we look at something and it appears appealing to us, when it feels appealing, that's something that we need to think about. Because that means that you'll consider doing that possibly. You know, it's almost like people who used to drink who say, absolutely, I have no desire to drink anymore. And then you hear the other person who says, you know, every once in a while, you know, I want to have a drink. I just don't. And that's not a good thing. Is it the worst thing in the world? Absolutely not. So please do not text me. Don't call me. I don't want to hear all that. I know it's not the worst thing in the world. However, again, we're talking about being renewed by being transformed, I'm sorry, by the renewing of your mind. You know, are certain things that you used to do still appealing to you and you were supposedly a Christian for years? Everything won't drop off at the same time, but we need to get to a point where these things are no longer appealing to me. I can think of several things that I used to do, you know, that I'm like, that ain't appealing to me anymore. Because we realize how reckless it may have been. We realize that, you know, when we were doing those things, that, you know, now you can become hell-bound if you fall into that and God closes your eyes and this sinful lifestyle, but you're claiming to be a Christian. You know, this Christian walk thing is not something that we need to play with. It's, you know, if you need help, hey, you need help. There's nothing wrong, because we all need help. We all need help. You know, someone said to me yesterday, you know, I'm still not coming over because, you know, I still don't have patience and I still don't, you know, do this, and I still, you know, I'm struggling with that. Well, I'm like, well, what makes you think that people who are in the Lord are not struggling with something? We all have something, you know. So I'm not talking about the fact that you will never have anything. I'm talking about just, remember yesterday we talked about camping out, just resting there. You know, I'm not where I used to be. You know, and you're fine to kind of coast right there. Remember us talking about that? Yes. And the ladies did a fantastic job yesterday with talking about camping out and how, you know, God has delivered us from something. Then keep going. Keep going. Keep moving further and further and further away from that thing. Stop being that small-minded Christian that thinks it's okay that you didn't step away from it. For, you know, for a foot, and being away from it, a foot's distance is going to get the job done. No, it's not. We got to keep on moving. We've got to wake up every day and surrender our lives to the Lord all over again. That's what a person who understands does. I can't wake up every day and go, okay, I didn't beat that thing. I ain't got to worry about that no more. You know, and just walk away and leave things, and we just sit there, and then the world just circulates around us. No, we got to move. We got to keep on moving. And as you're moving, you grow. Because as you move, you'll read your Bible. As you move, you'll continue to pray. You'll pray even more. You'll read your Bible more. You'll be interested. You'll hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what happens when we move. We won't stay, you know, in the same spot, because we'll understand the importance of moving. Listen, I got to move closer to Christ. I got to move closer and closer to Christ every day. I want to be a little bit closer to Christ, a lot bit closer to Christ than I was yesterday. And I definitely want to be a whole lot closer to Christ than I was last week, last month, last year. All right? So we can't be comfortable being a small-minded Christian. And you have to ask yourself, am I a small-minded Christian? And if I am, is God okay with that? And then come back and let me know what he says. All right, listen, go back and listen to yesterday's segment on, you know, being a small-minded Christian. It was really, 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 really good. Really good. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful morning, as always, here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I encourage you to go back and pick up anything that you can. There's always something to pick up on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. I don't care how small it is. It's always something. Okay? Well, today is Wow Wednesday already. We're in the middle of the week. God has been awesome, and he has allowed us to get safely through each and every day. And we have arrived here on Wednesday. How blessed are we that God woke us up today? Yes, we are quite blessed, and I'm so happy to spend this time with you. Well, you're getting ready to spend your morning with the Due Time crew. You know how it goes. Well, if you're just tuning in, unfortunately, you missed our girl Vivian and our socially conscious segment. Yeah, she had to come on a little earlier this morning, so you're going to have to go back and listen when it's all over. Remember, about 5 minutes after we disconnect and I say, I love you. Yes, the broadcast is actually there for you to listen to. Okay? So have no fear. You know, if you missed it, she always gives us the good stuff. Always gives us the good stuff. So go back and pick up what you missed. Okay? All right. Well, we've got the Women of Worship today. We've got our Techie Talk with Dwayne. And we've got our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlene Beard. Okay? You know, after listening to last week's segment on Wow Wednesday, I actually realized that we didn't do a socially conscious segment that, you know, that time. And, you know, so when I actually listened, I was like, wow, we were, you know, we've grown into some activities. Yes. And those things are like staples in our mornings. You know, on Wednesday, you know, we're accustomed to having, you know, what we get. And when we don't get it, it's like, oh, wait a minute, something was missing. So, yeah, you know, now we got a full morning of wowness. Okay? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. And that's your pomegranate juice. That's your oatmeal, your fiber, high fiber content, food, keep that gut moving around. And don't forget the sardines that help with the diabetes. Yes, two cans a week. Two cans a week, that's all you need. Two cans a week, okay? So sit tight. Make sure when we're on this break that you pick up your phone and you text and tell a friend that it's Due Time is on and popping. Yeah, I'll probably hear about that from Shantice. Okay, but it's on. We're on, and we're getting ready to get our morning conversation started with our ladies. I can't wait. I missed them last week. But we're back together again. Thank God. All right, so hold on. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Dorsey. I want to live here for the rest of my life and be as healthy and independent as I can be. That is why I'm so grateful for Yellow Healthy Aging Alliance, a nonprofit organization that brings 100 service providers together and educates the public on issues like planning ahead to meet long-term care needs, dementia, and how to be safe in our homes. I participate in the Aging Alliance Advocacy Committee that serves as the voice for older adults. We meet with elected officials to advocate for more senior services. Right now, the Alliance is playing a central role in expanding adult daycare services and supporting aging legislation. We are all aging. The Yo Healthy Aging Alliance is helping us to age well with dignity and respect. You can learn more, join our efforts, and we hope become a friend and supporter at yohealthyaging.org.
Good morning to you, and welcome to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. It is Wow Wednesday. Yes, I'm so happy to have made it safely into the middle of the week by the grace of our God. And I'm so happy to have you with me this morning. You know, it is Healthy Aging Awareness Month. And it's wonderful to hear from our, you know, aging individuals. Did you hear her say, I want to be here for the rest of my life? That was cute. That was cute. I thought that was cute. We all want to be here for the rest of our life. And, you know, it's wonderful to watch, you know, and be a part of the aging individuals' lives. It really is. You know, it kind of gives you a snapshot of, you know, if God spares your life, you know, what you could be like. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we have that to look forward to. Aging together. All righty. Well, it is Women of Worship time. And it's time to talk to our ladies. Let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning, beautiful. Good morning to everyone, all of our listeners and my sisters that's joining us.
Well, how are you this morning?
I am good. I feel good. I got up early. I did my exercise. I prayed. So I'm ready to start the day.
All right. All right. All right. Now, I didn't do the exercise thing, but I did join you in prayer, and I'm going to try to do my exercising later, but I'm sure that helps to get your day jump-started. Well, you were on early enough to get Vivian's socially conscious stuff, so I was really, I was like, wow, they didn't miss it. Thank you, so I don't have to try to explain it, because I can't say it the way Vivian does, but I wanted to talk about some stuff. Is there anything, first off, that stuck out to you?
Well, the one I did here, I pretty much joined right at that last, at the Wow Wednesday.
Okay.
And listening to the 20-year-olds that killed the 5-year-old simply because she just wanted to maintain relationship, right? Which I think speaks about the sadness, the desperation, that we often find ourselves in, you know, when we don't have relationship with God. We could become so overwhelmed by our desperation and by our desire, our need for things, that we will allow the enemy to come in and to steal from us, because she allowed this man to steal her son, her legacy. And I think that is the saddest thing ever.
Yeah, you know, like Vivian said, you know, we've all done some crazy things, girl. We've all done some crazy things, men and women. You know, we stayed a little longer than we should have, or we accepted something and then something clicked later, like, am I crazy? You know, you think about, you know, something that you tolerated that you, even now, when you go back into the recesses of your thoughts and mind and memory, and you're like, was I a fool or what? But goodness gracious, to step into that zone. And like I said to Vivian, Elder Natisha, you know, to admit, to be aware that this is why there was just this lapse of judgment in providing safety for my child is scary. Mm-hmm. Really, really scary. I tell you.
Yeah, I mean, and the truth is, I mean, it's not new, right? If we go all the way back to the beginning of time in Genesis with Jacob steals Esau's birthright, right? Simply because he caught him at the right time when his appetite was at a height. And so, you know, you offer him some soup. And so he gives away his birthright for some soup. I mean, that's literally what this woman did. Again, we talk about your child, your seed, your son being your legacy here in the earth and what God's intention and purpose and plan for this young boy's life. You allowed that to be stolen simply because of what you couldn't see past. You couldn't see past right now. And how many of us, right, it may not be to that magnitude. It may not be that we allow someone to steal our child, but how many things do we stay in relationships and allow our peace to be stolen? We stay in relationships and allow for our self-esteem to be stolen and broken down, right? We stay in relationships or whatever and lose our connection to God. So I'm a church-going woman getting with a man that's not connected to God. And so now I find myself being pulled out of my relationship with God in order to stay in this relationship. Yeah, we've seen this in a multitude of ways, and we've seen it play out. But the truth is, if we really think about it, how often do we allow different family members, situations, circumstances to come in and steal from us?
Absolutely. 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 That's what I said, when we go back in the recesses of our mind, we're like, did I do that? When you think about, you know, where you've come from, where you've been, what you've done, what you've allowed, it's like you just like, wow, I was there. And like you said, there's so many. It's so broad. You know, I may not have done what you did. You may not have done what someone else did. But everybody was you know, had that lapse of judgment, you know, and that really was a costly one, you know, at a time. So, yeah, it's something to think about, really something to think about. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to say good morning to our Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, to our ladies, to our kingdom carriers out there, those that are out there carrying the word and, you know, lifting those that are around them, helping them to live this life better.
All right. Amen. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Ah, how are you today? You sound great over there.
You sound great over there.
I am well. I am a little different than Elder Natisha because I slumbered a little longer than I normally would, but I'm doing well.
All righty. Well, Elder Natisha started the conversation about our wow news this morning about the, you know, the young lady who partnered with her boyfriend and allowed him, you know, they abused the child, and now the child is no longer here, and explaining to her mom, you know, hey, this is what I did because I wanted that relationship. I needed to stay connected to that. You know, what do you think when you hear this?
I'm trying to figure out where your mama bear syndrome, you know, none of that kicked in. You know, whether you have one or however many children you have, you know, your responsibility is to take care of that child. And to be or to desire a relationship to that magnitude, wow. You know, I remember, you know, I've often talked about my first relationship. It was not a good one, but I couldn't see, you know, let's just say, the forest for the trees. He was that everything about him was wrong. But, you know, that was my first relationship. I was very naive, and there was a lot of things that I didn't know. But, you know, where does your stopping point, you know, get to? You know, you compromise. Something in there had to, I just don't understand where that mama bear didn't kick in. You know, the first time that you laid your hand on my child, that would have been it, you know, but you wanted, you were so needy that you wanted this relationship to that degree. And then how do you fix your lips to tell mama or grandmother in this case that, you know, you idly stood by and watched somebody, you know, destroy your child, demise your child, and then fix your lips and say, mom, I just sat there and watched. Wow, I can't even fathom, you know, how do you do that?
You know, when I hear you ask that question, I think about all the mothers who maybe had been early parents, you know, early mothers, some women who had children or young girls who had children who, you know, there was no real love in their own life before the child entered the picture. Some women who become resentful after a while. We've heard those stories of how, you know, well, where's my life? I gave my life up for you. It's time for me to live. You know, when you were asking that question, like, so many things came through my mind. And I thought about, and I want to talk about this for a little bit, you know, how many mothers have allowed their husbands, the children's father, to mess with the girls? And if you remember, even in the DeBarge family, neither girl or boy was free from that father. He was responsible for tampering with those, and she knew, and she did nothing. Mm. She, at one point, she did say she left, but she returned because she had 9 kids, and she didn't know who was going to take care or keep her and the kids, and she idly sat by. And this was her legitimate husband. These were these children's legitimate father. And this is so common, unfortunately. And like you said, you know, we would think that a motherly instinct would kick in, because I can't think of anything different. I'm all three. I can't think of anything different than hearing that anybody did anything to my kid, and I'm going to sit by. I can't imagine it. But unfortunately, it is something that a lot of women who have children, they unfortunately, that's the area they enter, where the children are less important than, like, this young woman said, her relationship. Elder Natisha, what's your thought when you think about, you know, what the question that Lady Tamika posed?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because just this week, why this came to mind, but I thought about my own mother and the things that, you know, she did and allowed. And I said, I couldn't even fathom, like, I don't know what state of mind, I don't know what emotional place I could be in. The only thing I can think of is mental health, right? You know, there are so many of us that are out here that have mental health issues that go undiagnosed, and we see it played out in my opinion in scenarios like this. So if you ask the question, what allows a mother to stand by idly, and then not just stand by, right? She didn't just stand by and watch him beat her child to death. She then helped him bury the child.
She participated.
So
yep.
So we're talking about a mother watched this man beat her child to death. Then she was riding in a car with her child's body in the car while they went from one state to another state in order to bury the child. And so then you watch dirt get put on top of your child. So see, all of those things, at no point in time was there a click in this woman that said, wait a minute here, my child is gone. So at, when you were driving with the body, you didn't, that didn't click for you? When y'all were throwing dirt on this baby, that didn't click for you? That something's wrong mentally. And I guess we see some sense of consciousness come to surface when she does go to her mom, right? Now she wants, she needs to confess. She has to confess, you know. I'm sure grandma is saying, well, what happened to little Maximilian? And she had no excuse for where he is. And so she just confessed. But then she also took the cops to the place, you know, to where they buried him. So I think we see some sense of consciousness, but you can't convince me that there is not mental illness that is a part of this story that may that may be undiagnosed. Other than that, there is literally, there's no explanation for how a mother goes through all of those different phases of watching, driving, and burying, and at no point that this thing could click for you that, wait a minute, this man done killed my child.
Lady Tamika, you've heard, you know, what we're thinking, what comes across our mind. Well, what do you think after hearing that?
I'm just, you know, I guess I'm still wowed because, you know, I'm in agreement because there has to be something wrong. Something's missing when you want to be that badly with an individual. And then not only that, after burying the child, you went to Costa Rica. So you're in celebration of whatever. Because nobody just goes to Costa Rica to mourn. You're out there celebrating as if nothing happened. And then you're concerned about other children or at least another child. So what is it that this child, one child has more value than the other? And I understand that there are degrees of love for your children. You know, nobody, although you verbalize, let's be honest, although you verbalize that you love all your children the same, there's a love for each child and each love is different. However, wow, you know, how is it that this child, you know, okay, you can take that one out, but not this one. I'm just completely confused, but that's just me.
No, I mean, I don't think you're asking any other question than, you know, differently than anybody else is. You know, we all, you know, it crosses your mind, like, how in the world, as mothers, we say that. You know, that's what you heard Elton, Aitisha, and I both say, you know, what in the world, you know, is, and again, you know, there are a lot of, you know, factors that go into, you know, how you stand by and watch. And, you know, again, I've heard women say how resentful they are, you know, after a certain time of caring for the children and how they feel they missed out. And look, the children didn't ask to come here. You know, and why do they, you know, I'm showering you with all of this and you've got this and you've got that. And now, you know, I have nothing and I can't even keep a man. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in, you know, someone's head. And I want to tell you something else. This postpartum issue, let me tell you something, that stuff is deep. And it's real. It is deep and it is real. And for every woman that experiences it, it can mean something very differently. And, you know, I had Shantice at an early age. You know, 5 years later, I had, you know, my second girl. And 8 years later, I had my last child. And for the first time, I experienced the postpartum after the third child. And, you know, your body is going through all kinds of things. You feel the physical shift. You feel the emotional shift. You feel the mental shift. Everything is moving at the same time, and it's not moving in the same direction. And you hear these women who drive the children into the water, you know, who kill the kids. Or, you know, they just do all kinds of things because, again, you know, at some point, you really have to get those feelings under control. So, again, we, you know, they've done studies and they're saying, you know, initially they were like, okay, well, you only go to postpartum, you know, depression and things like that for like a couple of years. But then as they started doing more and more studies, they saw that deep into, you know, almost till a child is 10, you could actually go through this adjustment. Now, keep in mind, ladies, that they say it takes 4 years for your body to recover from the birth of a child. 4 years. Think about people who have stair-step kids.
Mm-hmm.
How stable are we? So there's your mental illness, Elder Natisha, mm-hmm. in that format. Mm-hmm. What's your thought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the other thought I have, right, is when we really think about, when we dive into what the Bible says about sin, the Bible depicts sin, right, as the thing that separates us from God. The Bible calls it a sickness. It is a sickness that dwells in us, and what it looks like, its expression varies. So when we think about this idea of, you know, what makes a person do such a thing, what makes white people, you know, do what they did to black people, to the nature that they did it, right? To decapitate, to hang, to burn, to do all of these different things. What makes a son have an argument with his mother and then chop up her body because he wanted to go to a party and chop up her body and put pieces of it all over the Bronx? Like, what makes these things happen? At the core of it, the end result of it is sin. That sin is that thing. It is the separation from God. And when we are separated from God and we're left to our own devices, there is this thing that's within us that has the ability to drive us to places that we wouldn't imagine. And so I think it's important for us to your point earlier when you were talking, you know, when we think about, you know, just allowing our minds to be so loose, to allow ourselves to be just so drawn to things. Yes, we are born in sin, and we are shaped in iniquity. And yes, Paul describes it so eloquently when Paul says that there is, you know, this thing, there is this thorn in my flesh that even when I want to do good, right, evil is present, that the thing that I hate, that is the thing sometimes that I find myself doing. That is there. The purpose of that is to not give us justification for sin or justification to just allow ourselves to be drawn to things, but it is for us to make a clear distinction of why we need God and why we must really continuously pull our minds in, pull our hearts in. We have to command our hearts, command our minds, and pull ourselves in, because sin unchecked is the result of things like this. All of these stories we've been talking about, it is sin unchecked.
Ah, absolutely, absolutely. And when we look at, you know, this from an angle of how sin has entered the world and absolutely taken over, very, very poignant point. We got Pastor Kim on for a couple of minutes, so let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Morning. Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank
good,
you.
Good.
Well. Very well. We're talking about our wow news from Vivian this morning about the couple who, you know, there was a young lady in a relationship. She watched her boyfriend beat her little boy to death, and they took him out to some area, dug up his body, dug up the area, buried his body, went to Costa Rica, and came back, and in talking to her mom, the mom, you know, hey, you know, I allowed this to happen. You know, I did. I stood by and watched this happen because I needed to be in a relationship. That was what, you know, she told mom. And we were talking about just the dynamic of, you know, just being, you know, a mom and you're covering your children. And Lady Tamika, you know, what's going on in her head is, hey, you know, well, when does, you know, mother, that mother instinct, that mama bear kick in? You know, at what point in when all of this was going on, did that ever enter into,
you know, the picture where you could have stepped in, you know, and protected your child. So, you know, what's your thought? What's your thought in hearing this stuff?
You know, it's just evident that we are, you know, truly in our last and evil days, you know, and, you know, and just the word of God is just fulfilling itself that, you know, from men becoming lovers to themselves, you know, men's hearts waxing cold and, you know, the famine, the wars, all of it, you know, is just evident that we are so close to the end, you know, and God is soon to return. And, you know, when you see the frame of mind of people, you know, from just dealing with the pandemic, you know, in itself it has taken people into a dark place. It has stirred up rage and anger, and I'm sure a lot of emotions that have probably already been in people, but it's escalating it even the more. You know, and it's just a sad, sad situation when we see that innocent children, you know, and families and people just turning against one another. It's so sad, and it just lets us know, like my sister said, we need God so much. We need God like we have never needed him before, and this is a time that we got to turn from our wicked ways. You know, because if we could be honest, we have some wicked ways and some spirits that are creeping in unaware, you know. And it's just like when you, if you probably would ask a lot of people that are in prison that have committed different kinds of acts, when they acted out and committed these things or these sinful acts, they didn't do it in the spirit. You know, that's when you jump out of your spirit into the flesh, you know, because the flesh will cause you to do some things that you never thought that you would probably do, you know. And that's why it is so imperative for us to have, you know, God's spirit. We really need his spirit, because without it, we can do nothing, you know, because in our flesh dwells no good thing, you know. And the heart is deceitfully wicked. Nobody knows it but God. And so, you know, it's really just a time that we have to pray like we've never prayed before. You know, we got to truly pray without ceasing. We got to cover our children. We got to cover our grandchildren. We got to bind up everything that's not like God, you know, and just, you know, fast, you know, pray, seek the face of God, you know. And so, you know, it's just so sad when we see things happening to these children. You know, these babies didn't ask to be here. It's like, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy.
Absolutely, Pastor Kim. You know, we I always chuckle when, because I know when you're coming on and up on the, you know, we're in our last and evil days. I always kind of chuckle to myself.
Yes.
And, you know, it's again, like you said, these are the signs. You know, when Elton, our teacher, was speaking, I was thinking of what she was saying about the sin level and how, you know, it has gotten to such a degree where mothers, you know, it's just like they're numb to, you know, years ago, man, people were chasing you down with a stick, a bottle, or anything they could put their hands on to protect you, you know, their children from you. And here it is, the very parent is turning, the children are being turned over to the hands of the parents who are destroying them. And I keep looking at things, and I'm saying to myself, hey, you know, it's almost like the worst person for these children are their parents. Lady Tamika,
right.
What's your thought with that one?
I'm still, I guess just me, I'm just floored. I'm looking at it from the perspective, and I'm not in disagreement, because I do hear, and whenever you start concerning yourself with self, you veer more and more into sin, you know, and it has been verbalized, you know, that, you know, you're so concerned about yourself that you're willing to forfeit your child's life. I'm looking at it from the other perspective, you know, whereas you can do what you want to me. However, you know, you can't, you know, it should be that, you know, you shouldn't be able to do anything to my child. However, that's where the issue is. The more we keep wondering or concerning ourselves with self, the more we veer away from God and the greater the sin becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Elvin, mm-hmm. Aitisha, you know, like I said, I'm thinking of, you know, sometimes the worst person, the worst people for these children are their parents. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
These days. It's like they don't even get a chance to get out into the world for the world to destroy them. They can't even make it out the house.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes right back to, again, right, so what I love about the Bible is although people want to act as though it is a book that's not relevant, that it is old and antiquated, it is accurate, mm-hmm. and it is right now.
Absolutely.
In every season of life, because we can go all the way back to the beginning and we can go to Genesis, right? We talked about Esau, but then you can also still see how when we moved away from God, it really did become all about what it is that we wanted, what it is that we desired. And we currently live in a culture that is so self-centered. And we think about how from the very beginning, it was always the enemy's plan to destroy us at the early stages of life. This is not new.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction of
right.
young people
Absolutely.
Began, it always began early, right? The enemy, his purpose for beguiling Eve was to cut off whatever future production she was going to be, you know, instituting into the earth. Not only was she ready to plant seeds of righteousness to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, but she was also going to be fruitful and multiply, and that multiplication was going to establish not only what Satan had experienced in heaven, but now it was going to populate the earth. So what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
At the very
mm-hmm.
early stages of life, he begins to come in and beguile in order to cut off and to kill, to destroy what God's plan was for the earth. Well, that's the same thing with our children. They are our future. They are they're the ones that's going
mm-hmm.
to continue the gospel message going
mm-hmm.
forth. When the word of God says that his word will go forth to all nations, north, south, east, and west, well, how are we going to do it by ourselves? We can't.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fruit
mm-hmm.
that we bear that will
mm-hmm.
pick up the mantle and that will continue to spread the gospel. So the enemy is trying to snuff out our children, and he's
mm-hmm.
using us, parents, to do it. And this is why we have a responsibility to make sure that we're identifying with how far and how separate we are from God. The Bible says that
mm-hmm.
the wages of sin is death. If you look up the word wages, it's talking about the production of your labor. What you invest
mm-hmm.
in is what returns to you. Oh, my God, what you invest in. When you invest in sin, well, the result of sin is what's going to return to you. So her
Absolutely.
Selfish act, her selfish need, her selfish focus, the labor of that resulted in death. The wages of
mm-hmm.
sin will
mm-hmm.
always equate to death.
All the time, all the time. And that's what came to my mind when you were talking the first time about when you introduced the sin component. And how, you know, it just magnifies and magnifies and magnifies, and it just grows worse and worse and worse. And we think, you know, we have this stuff under control. You know, when she got into this
mm-hmm.
relationship, that wasn't her thought, probably. That, you know,
right.
it was like, oh, you know, I can have my children, I can have, you know, my man, and blah, 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 blah. And as time came and you start compromising a little, when you get, you know, a little bit further in, you compromise a little bit more. And when you get a little further in, you compromise a little bit more. And when you look
mm-hmm.
up, you know, now you're all out there. And, you know, and I look at the confession as you pose it to the mother. You know, I looked at it as a sigh. Like, you know, listen, here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what I did. You know, just getting it out. You know, just, okay, you know what,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I just wanted a man, you know, and you know, that's the way
I'm feeling it. That's the way I see it. You know, you're talking to your mom, and it's like, you know, it just gets spilled out, you know, like that. I'm going to put a quick pause in this, ladies. We have our Techie Talk, Dwayne, who has joined us, and then we can definitely continue this conversation. Let's say good morning to Dwayne. Good morning,
good
Dwayne.
Good morning. God bless you, lady. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, rise and shine and give God the glory.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
What you got for today?
Well, thanks to you, sis. You sent me a wonderful article yesterday to read about in regards to some new security features that are being implemented in Facebook Messenger, as well as WhatsApp and I think Instagram. And what it is that, briefly, I'm just going to explain. They're looking to encrypt the information called end-to-end encryption, where if you're having a conversation with someone one-on-one or maybe with a group, and they all have the same app installed on their phone or computer, that means you're having a secured conversation. That means that there shouldn't be anyone listening or peeking in onto your conversation. For me, and this is just a rule of thumb for anything that you do in regards to social media, keep your personal business off social media. Treat the messaging app as you know, when you go to work, you don't tell everybody your business at home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You don't let them know when you're leaving to go on vacation. You know, you say hello, how you doing, how's the family, that kind of thing. You keep it all general. If you get in the mindset of doing that, you'll be fine using any of the apps. However, I did download a new app called Signal. It's kind of like a WhatsApp app where it's just basic, and you can communicate using SMS, which is the messenger app. And so far, so good. I'd only use it for a few hours since I just downloaded it last night. I'm trying it out to see how it works, and it feels like any other messaging app that's already out there, but apparently this one's more secure. Facebook and Messenger and Instagram, they're all collecting your information behind the scenes. They're collecting your information, and that's the reason why if you start talking to your sister or your brother or whoever else in the family, and you notice that what you just spoke about on the messaging app, you're starting to see advertisement for it, then you know that they're peeking in, and some algorithms are being used in the background to see what you're doing, okay? So, again, do not put any personal information or share any personal information. It's good for what we use it for, which is for business meetings, that we're going to have a business meeting coming up. And, you know, we'll talk on the phone, you know, at the business meeting, or we'll have a Zoom session, you know, for a business meeting. But do not put your personal information on there. Don't put your banking information on there. Don't do any of that.
Okay. Big information for us. I thought it would be something that we needed to know, and I couldn't quite understand it, but I knew you could. So I thank you so much for you know, encrypting it, you know, clearing it up for us. Thank you so very much. We so appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, sis. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Give us your information in case someone needs to reach out.
Yes, my telephone number is 646-361-4698. I repeat, 646-361-4698. And the name is Dwayne McLeese. I'm on Facebook. Okay, and you can look for me there, or you can go to the Coach for Christian Life Facebook page and look for me there. And I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have, or you can just give me a call. okay?
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, sis. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Be blessed. All righty. All right. You're on with Wow Wednesday. With his due time with Pastor Steph, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
In Alabama, there are more than 1,400 kids just like us with all kinds of childhood cancers and blood disorders, like leukemia, tumors, and sickle cell. Over 90% of us receive treatment and family-centered care at the Alabama Center for Childhood Cancer and Blood Disorders at Children's of Alabama, where some of the brightest minds and most compassionate hearts are committed to finding a cure.
We're committed to a cure.
And you can be too.
Morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. We are in the middle of a wonderful conversation. Who are we? Me, myself, Elder Natisha Moore, our Lady Tamika Evans-Jones, and our pastor, Kim Brooks, the Women of Worship. And we have been talking about our Wow News. And we're about to shift gear. So let me open up my mics again and say good morning to our ladies. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have truly enjoyed our conversation so far and talking about, you know, this crazy news. You know, I was talking with Elder Natisha last night, and I was saying, you know, we have just been able to spark godly conversation just from the news, you know, things that people deal with every single day, the things that, you know, we are reading and hearing, and man, oh, man, oh, man, it just leaves you kind of wondering, kind of out there, like, what in the world is going on? And it brings me to our focus today, and that's about Christian responsibility. You know, we were talking yesterday about being a small-minded Christian, and, you know, it helps me to, you know, really, really, really focus in on, you know, when you take your step into this Christian field, on this Christian journey, you know, and you're looking at the world and you're hearing the dysfunctions of the world and you're hearing how the world is plagued with sin, what our responsibility is. And I thought that this would be a wonderful conversation for us to have, ladies. So one of the first things that comes up is that, you know, the key to Christian responsibility is living a consistent Christian life. Elder Natisha, what's your thought on that responsibility of living a consistent Christian life?
I think it's how we glorify our Father in heaven, right? It's the way our consistency, it shows individuals how through every season of life, it shows your family members, it shows the world that God is consistent and that he consistently is able to keep us. He's consistently able to provide for us. And our response to that, like our response to the ups and downs of life, should be predicated upon what we know about God and not necessarily how we feel about the situation. And I think in most cases, that's the war. The war is what I know about God versus how I feel about this situation. Our consistency derives in not what we feel, but in what we know. And that allows the world to see the consistency of God in every season of life, whether we're up, down, whether we have not, whether we're happy or sad. God's ability to keep us remains consistent, and I think that's why we are empowered to show the world consistency.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. Nice start. Lady Tamika, how are you going to pick up on that? You know, we're talking about having that consistent Christian life.
So you stand out in the midst of situations because there are times when we could shortcut. There are times when we could go around. However, I value God and my relationship with God more than anything else. And so, I'm going to stand for God in the midst of a situation. You know, a lot of times it's easy. You know, sometimes it might be even, you know, it may appear to be easier because, you know, oh, well, this is brought to me. However, in the end, we win because we choose God.
Good stuff, good stuff. Pastor Kim, you know, the key to, you know, our the Christian living is having a consistent Christian life. That's our responsibility.
Yes, it is. You know, we have to always be consistent. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. You know, our Christian walk is not something that we should just feel like that we're faithful to on Sundays, and then on Monday we just, you know, put our Holy Ghost or our spirituality on the shelf and pick it back up on Sundays or whenever we feel like it's convenient for us or when we need God. You know, God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, and he changes not. If we are imitators of our Father, then the same consistency that our Father shows us, we should show onto him.
Amen, 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 ladies, amen. I'm looking at the second component, the second key to Christian responsibility, and that's, I love this one, being a Christian example. Oh, I love this one. Lady Tamika, get us started with that one, please.
I'm sorry, could you please repeat that for me?
The next key is being a Christian example.
Oh, clearly. There are so many different things that in daily life that appeal to us, you know, and standing for God should be your vital for everyday living, you know. So don't shortcut, you know. And what you don't realize is even when you don't think that people are watching, people are watching. And with that, some people will never, ever go to church again. And so they need to see God, and you need to be the vessel that they're looking at. And so with that in mind, you know, draw nearer to God. And the closer that you draw nearer to God, the more you will show and exhibit his attributes and the things that that come through life. You know, you won't shortcut. You'll do exactly what he's calling for you to do. And in that, not because you're doing it because someone's looking, but because of your relationship with God, he'll lead you to the right thing and you'll do the right thing.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, that responsibility, there's a huge responsibility in being a Christian example.
Absolutely. We have to let our light so shine that men can see our good works and our Father can be glorified in heaven. You know, that as a Christian, that is our responsibility. You know, Paul said, be thou an example and in love and in purity. You know, we have to continue to always be an example and a walking and living epistle, always being read of men. You know, this is what you know, being a Christian is all about, you know, that people might be able to see the transformation, you know, in us, that they might be encouraged or inspired to want to live a Christian life, you know, that they might desire to say, well, you know what? I know if God did it for them, then he can do it for me, you know, because God doesn't change, you know, and we overcome them by our testimony, and we are a testament of how good God is. We are testaments of how God is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a restorer. And when we continue to walk in that light, you know, then people should be drawn to that light, to want to be more like us so that they can be more like God. So that's what it's all about.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Natisha, that Christian example, key responsibility to Christian living. Are we talking to the mute button?
I sure am. This world has really created all kind of idols and erected statues of the things of this world, right? Like one being wealth. And I think the example of the Christian is, you know, to literally let the fruits of the Spirit be seen, right? To be generous, to be courageous, to be loving, to have respect, to give respect, offer respect, to offer hope in dire situations. And this one really, like, hope really jumped out at me, because what I watched all throughout 2020 during COVID was how many Christians were just as downcasted as the world. Like, there was nowhere to look. You know, on social media. And it was so disheartening to see how many Christians just could not offer hope on a platform, right? A public platform where, you know, you already had people that were suffering. You already had people questioning, what is this? What kind of God would allow this? And it was the Christian's responsibility to be the example and to share hope and put up the word of God that reminds us that God is faithful, that in the midst of the darkness, there is light, and we just have to look for the light. And we are, you know, to be peaceful, right? The Bible tells us to let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So if what I am offering in my workspaces, if what I bring to my home environment isn't peaceful, that offers mutual edification, that allows for the Spirit of God to work in all of us because of an atmosphere of just love, respect, and peace and hope that I can offer, like, that should be who we are to the best of our abilities in every place that we set our feet in. We ought to be the difference. We are the example. When I walk into the room, light has come because that light is in me. So regardless of what room I walk into, I'm walking in as light. And I don't know whatever darkness is here, but I'm sent as a woman of light to defeat the darkness. The darkness of depression, the darkness of anxiety, the darkness of Hurricane Ida, the darkness of Corona. Like, whatever that darkness is, we are the example. We are the ones that carry the light of Jesus. And so we have to remember that.
Amen, 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 ladies, amen. Oh, the next responsibility that comes up to Christian living is the responsibility of being in your Bible on a daily basis, doing that daily Bible study. Pastor Kim.
Amen. We should always study to show ourselves approved. You know, we need the Bible because it is our basic instructions before leaving earth, you know. Is always an abbreviation always used for the Bible, you know, and the Bible is life. You know, the Bible, you know, of God's word is a light into our path, you know, and we need God's word. We need constantly, you know, every single day, you know, the first thing I do when I get up in the morning after I thank God for waking me up in the morning, I have a Bible app. that gives me a word that I can meditate on every single
Amen.
Morning, and I try to use
Amen.
That as a tool to just
Amen.
Allow me to get, you know, even if I don't have time to sit down and study, you know, a whole bunch of scriptures or chapters, at least I have that one scripture.
Mm-hmm,
I bring a scripture, and I have a friend that for years we have been, she'll send me a scripture, and I'll send her one. And I meditate on those words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I post those words on my story. I post them on my page. So not only am I getting it, but I'm trying to share the word with someone else, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you know, this is how we built ourselves up, you know, in the spirit, you know, by reading the word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when we read that word and we begin to speak it and meditate on it day and night, you know, that's when we can live and apply it to our lives.
Amen, 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 amen. Elder Natisha, being in that Bible each and every day, daily.
I think it's important to identify right the different levels of our listeners. Right, there may be some that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and there may be some that are just starting out. And so I love the practicality of what Pastor Kim just said, and so I hope that the new believer, or, you know, the person who is a babe in Christ, who's just starting out, who is just wanting to know him, will grab hold
mm-hmm.
of what
mm-hmm.
Pastor Kim just gave to you as
Absolutely.
A practical
mm-hmm.
way to start the process of this. I just wanted to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
But and then also to just encourage the fact that, you know, in order for us to really live in this world and not be a part of it, it requires for us to have a knowledge, a wisdom, and an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've listened to me, you know, I think you may have heard me say that all the time. It is literally what I pray for every day. It is included in all of my prayers. Father, I pray for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because it's imperative for us to understand the God that created us. It's important for us to get to know the character of God, because we'll hear so many accusations about God, right, from so many sources, from so many different people that will try to define God for us, that if we don't read for ourselves to get to know him, we'll be confused out here. Now, hear what I just said. If you do not read the word to get to know God for yourself, you will be confused by listening to the various sources that are available to you on social media and on YouTube. It's not enough for you to just go to these sources on Facebook and YouTube and all of these different platforms and think that by following your favorite speaker that is going to lead you to a fuller understanding of God. It will not. You can read the Bible for yourself, and God will come and reside with you and give you further instruction and give you further wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of who he is, so that you can know his character when winter comes, when darkness comes. That's how we stand, by knowing the character of God when it hurts, when life has hurt us and we don't have an explanation for it, and we start saying, well, wait a minute. God, really? What? We need something that's going to sustain us, and it's what we know about God that sustains us in those moments. We need the word of God for ourselves.
Amen, 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 amen. You ladies are giving it up today, as always. Lady Tamika, we're talking about that the key to being a responsible Christian is getting in that word, getting into that Bible each and every day.
So we all have things that happen in life, but it is so vital to get into your word on a daily basis. The Bible is not just a good book. It is the good book. It is the essential for life, you know. And I'm going into Philippians 3:14, where it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So that means that you have to take the time, set aside some time for God to speak to you, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in devotion, whether it's in both, because it's important. These days are coming when life will slap down to the point that you can barely breathe. It will literally suspend you onto the ground, and you're gonna need something to sustain you. You know, life can make you cry. Life can make you feel like, okay, you know what, today is not the day and I don't want to do it. However, when you have God in your life, you have that one thing that says, okay, you know what, when everybody else and when every other situation doesn't seem to be in my favor, I know that I have God. And that's the one thing that's going to, on this moment when I'm really going through, you press towards the mark. You're taking the time to read your words. You're acknowledging him and enjoying it. And when you're suspended, it just feels like, you know what, I can't take another step. I can't move. You press towards that one thing that's going to sustain you in the midst of all of this chaos and all of this confusion. That's the one thing that's going to keep you from ruling your mind. It's going to keep you sustained. It's going to keep you, even when everything else seems to be going chaotic, God can hold you and sustain you in the midst of that so that you're not suspended in earth, that you have that one thing that will keep you from falling.
Amen, amen. I want to pull out Pastor Charlene's tambourine.
Pastor Steph, can I just add one other thing, Pastor?
Yes.
I just wanted to also say that, you know, a lot of times, you know, I get it, you know, the hustle and the bustle of the day, you know, sometimes we can, you know, get away from really getting into the word the way that we should. But I thank God that we have so many different technologies and techniques up where we can, we have the word, the Bible apps on our phone. We can throw a CD in our car with the Bible app and listen while we're while we're riding in our car. Or, you know, you can put it on, you know, or you can always find T.D. Jakes or somebody that's always rendering a word, you know, where you can get it, you know. So, you know, God has, he'll meet us right where we are, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I understand that we might not always be able to just sit down and read the way that we might desire. But when we, Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. So when you have a thirst and you have a desire, God will make a way for you. He'll show us different ways where we can still fit in that time to be able to get the word of God daily.
Amen, 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 amen. Ah, ladies, we're talking about Christian living, the key and the responsibility level of a Christian, and having that right attitude. Ooh. Having the right attitude is a key to getting this done. Elder Natisha, did I start with Pastor Kim last time? Yes, yes. Elder Natisha, having the right attitude.
Oh, yeah, having the right attitude is everything. It's what sets you, it sets the pace for how you now exemplify what you've ingested, right? Like, that's really where the result of your attitude comes from. It's based off of what you've ingested. It's based off of, you know, what you've taken in, how you've allowed it to impact, you know, your functionality. That really is what that looks like. So when you are reading the word, then what comes out of you is those fruits that I talked about earlier. If you're taking in just the junk of the world, if you're breathing in just the junk of the world, well, then the junk of the world is what's going to come out of you. So when it's time for you to be able to help someone else, you'll be so stuck in how you feel and how you see things and how you are looking at things that you're ineffective. So having the right attitude, you know, it's imperative, and it's birthed, though, from what you ingest, which just, to me, it leads us full circle back to everything that we've just, you know, previously talked about, the importance of reading the Word, the importance of, you know, setting yourself before God.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, that the responsibility, one of the responsibilities of being a good Christian is having a good and the right attitude.
Elder Natisha was so right about, since this pandemic, I have seen more individuals, more Christians just be so negative. And you don't realize how much of an impact that puts on people that you come in contact with. You know, the attitude of, whatever, you know, and I'm like, you're God's child. Where does the, I'm looking forward to a better day come? That attitude with a lot of Christians has, you know, just disappeared. And so living your life and knowing that God is your keeper, you know, and having that relationship with Him and knowing that, you know, even if I don't know, God's got it and He's taking care of it. It should be the better attitude as opposed to, it's not going to make a difference. Oh, nothing's going to change. It's going to be the same thing over and over. God can see you and He can hear what you're doing. And not only that, for those that don't know Christ, you are a living example. And so live the life that God is calling you so that you can draw others to you and therefore draw others to Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, you have the final word today. That responsibility, one of the key responsibilities, is having the right attitude.
Amen. Yes, it is so important that we have the right attitude because our attitude determines our altitude. You know, having the right attitude in our Christian walk, you know, determines a lot of things. You know, just like when our attitude when we give, God loves a cheerful giver. God don't want us to give grudgingly, which was one of the scriptures for today. You know, our attitude in regards to when we give unto God. He said, when we give, He'll give it back to us. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. You know, when we are ministering to somebody, our attitude and the way that we present a word, you know, the presentation is everything. You know, nobody wants to, when you're trying to deliver a word, if you're not delivering it in love, the Bible tells us in everything, we should do it in love. We should have a loving spirit. We should have a giving spirit. We should have a kind spirit. Again, back to the fruit of the spirit, you know, we have to ask God to teach us how to long suffer. Yes, we're going to go through some things, but, you know, if you got a nasty attitude and you talking about, oh, well, I ain't going to never get out of this. But if you got the attitude that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, if you got an attitude that you are always continually walking in faith, you know, and not in fear, you know, no matter what, even with the pandemic, you know, people are watching your attitude as leaders, as Christians. How are we acting? How are we responding to this pandemic? Are we acting like no plague is going to come by dwelling? Are we speaking the word of God? You know, is that our attitude that we are carrying? You know, so it is so important that we always have a good and a positive attitude as women and men of God.
Amen. Ladies, you have done a fantastic job, and I give God thanks for your ministering today. I'm sure you have blessed many, many, many a life, and I pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you. God bless you.
Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you
Love
too.
Y'all.
All right. Oh, what a message, what a message, what a time, what a time, what a time when all God's people get together. Oh, we've come to the top of the hour where we have our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph and everyone. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. Girl, I wanted to pull out your tambourine, like I said. My tambourine wasn't good enough for these ladies today. I needed that special tambourine that you got over in your house. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, my heart was just leaping and jumping. as they were delivering the word. And, you know, I want to go back with you. I want to go back to the news of the young lady who, you know, tossed out her relationship and responsibility first to her child and to God, which she's, of course, is not, you know, thinking about, but her first responsibility to her child to give it to a man, and the fear that faith over it, because women of God have that same issue. They don't necessarily do it in this degree, but as we were speaking earlier, you know, we have the same issue of being nervous, of being, you know, fearful. And what do you want to say to God's people today about that faith over fear when we have to make the right responsibility choice?
Absolutely. The fear part is wanting, you know, of being alone, scared to be by myself, scared to raise children by myself. The fear will kick in because we don't know the lifestyle that her mom had showed her. You know, it could have been where that even the mom, you know, might have put her husband or boyfriend before her children. She might have experienced this because we don't know the pattern. And like, and sometimes what happens is what is around us, we become, you know. So the fear of that, of being able to say that, not, and it totally was not correct. We do know, just like you stated, that we know that she did not have God in her, you know, to, or someone around her to minister to her, to help her, you know. And when you were saying the story, I thought of that, how many babies are having babies and the grandmother is only 32 and the great-grandmother is only, you know what I mean, is only 40 or, you know, or close to 45, you know, and where that they didn't have, where back in the day we had the village to help, you know, back then, and to have the knowledge and the understanding. So the fear part of that, but during that time, you know, I thought of as someone that would probably see her in the block or something, that knows Christ, that will be able to sit and be able to minister. We have so many young people out here that just don't know, you know, and you think that they do know, but they just don't know. And it's our responsibility, you know, to go into the community to be able to help these young mothers and be able to show them how to take care of their baby, to show them how to love themselves, to show them how to love their babies and do, you know, different services of teaching them how to put a pamper on right, how to know when your child is sick, you know. And a lot of times people don't do that, you know, and we just assume, you know, when they come into the building, you know, into the ministry, you know, you don't really know what people know and what they don't know until you sit and have a conversation, you know. And we got to continue to call on the Lord and have him, you know, scope out into the congregation, you know, and ask him for the, you know, the spiritual discernment to who needs what, Lord, who needs some kind of guidance, you know, and where that we're able to help them, you know, and to have, for them to be able to be built up. I was loving the part when you was talking about the different ways of how to introduce the Bible to some, you know, even in showing them in games, you know, they have like a lot of Christian games where that we're able to be able to change the mindset of the people, you know. And when we go back into that love, when you're searching for love in all the wrong places, because I've been there, and when you do that searching, you believe what that person say. You believe that, you know, he's going to say, if you love me, you will.
And then you can fill in the blank, because we've all had heard that from somebody. If you love me, you'll do this. It takes a strong person, you know, to be able to conquer that with your, you will. What is your will? No, I'm not going to do it. No, I, you know, that is not of God. No, I want to be able to run to God. When I was at my lowest with my children, that's how I came to Christ, because of my children, because of my situation that I was going through with their father. It didn't make me say, well, you know what? I love you more than I love my children. But what I had to do was, it was a young lady that worked with me, and she said to me, I need you to come to hear the word of God. And I was like, I'm not coming, because I didn't have the clothes. I didn't have all of that, you know, and people talk about you. And that's what I shared with her. She said, just come. And that day I went. And then it was just something that clicked, and that was the love that he showed me. They came out, the pastor came out the pulpit. He gave me a hug. His wife came over. She gave me a hug. It was like they was concerned about me, because all I did was cry the whole service. And when he was finished, he came down. He showed me the love of God through him. He used him to be able to, you know, are you okay, baby? You know, what do you need? And it changed my thought. So when you were saying it about her, it was about the love of God that we have to show, where that the people will be able to have faith to show somebody else. Because that's what we do. I show you, you show someone else. And we have to be able to spend that time. So in our faith, we have to be able to stand on God's word and know to stand fast in the faith, you know, and be strong, be brave, be able to go over to that young lady and let her know that God loves her, even in the midst of what she's going through, you know, and for us to be able to have that boldness. And a lot of times we don't have that boldness and that confidence, you know, through the faith of him, you know, to be able to go and to do what God called us to do in that situation. And all things are possible, you know, with him who believes. And once we can get them just to believe and just to trust, we're able to get through with them. And I just know that at the end, she's going to feel it as she's sitting in that. So now who's loving her in that, in the prison? But you know what? Thank God that we always have some people that go there to be able to minister to them, and maybe that she'll be able to turn her life around and be able to come to Christ. I wish we would be able to hear the second part of her life, and will she be able to get up and testify and be able to say, look what God, I know that I was wrong, but look what God has done for me. That's my faith on today.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for our Faith Over Fear segment one more week. Thank you so much. What a blessing. I pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same. God bless you all.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, have we gotten our fill today? Amen. Well, you know what time it is. It's time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for just loving us in a special way, that we could wake up today with you on our mind, with you on our heart, and just minister. Open our mouths and allow you to speak for us, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for using us. Thank you for choosing to use us, that we're not floating around wondering, what can we do, what my purpose is, you know, am I important, you know, my self-esteem is so low, and but we're walking in your way. We're walking in your will. We have heard the call, and we are answering to those marching orders. And we thank you. We thank you, God, that we are not lost in the manner in which we have heard today. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, so that we would be able to speak for you, that we would be able to have a life that we could speak about, letting our testimony aid in delivering and helping someone become aware that they need you as their personal savior, that the example that's being set as we become candid on this broadcast, as we open up our lives before all men, that we're not afraid or ashamed, that we are willing to tell of your goodness, that we're willing to talk about where we were and where we are and what we strive to be in you, that nothing is put before you today, that when we speak of all the things that we go through and we speak of the stepping stones and the mistakes we've made, that we can say a glory hallelujah that Jesus has called me and I have been elevated out of that life. Lord, we just lift up every mother out here right now, whether she knows you or whether she doesn't, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you, God, to just put a level of love on her heart for her children, where she doesn't wonder about herself, where she doesn't put herself first, where she's not aching and ailing over any missed opportunities or missed love or something that she's not getting. God, we ask you to fill her heart with all the love that she needs to give to her children, that she would understand that she needs you and that you will give her the enhancement that she needs, the Heavenly Father, to find you and to live a better life and to serve her children and love herself in a special way, that she would answer the responsibility to motherhood, that she would not feel that being a mother is taking away from who she is or what she can receive, that the man that she has chosen to love is a man that you have sent her, that she would position herself to be found by you and whoever you send for her, God. Lord, this world is ailing. This world is aching. And you have placed us strategically here so that we can aid in moving lives closer to you, in drawing lives closer to you. And we thank you for another opportunity to get that done today. Thank you for calling on us, and that we have a purpose that we recognize and that we enjoy serving you, God. It's not cumbersome to follow your will or your way. We're not worried about your laws and now we don't know what to do because, you know, it's so hard. But we thank you for the spirit that you have given us that belongs to you, that you help us navigate through this life, that when we look to the east and look to the west and we're going in the opposite direction, that your voice says, I need you to go this way. And we heed, we concede, we give way to your spirit, that we don't just take away from what it's there to do. Thank you, God, because only you can do that. Only we can do that with your assistance. We're nothing by ourselves. And let us help to relay that, that the reason why we live, move, and have our being is only because of you. That none of this is done in and of ourselves on our own. We can't make it without you. So we say thank you today for all of the ministering that was done, and that it would not fall on deaf ear, and that it would be picked up in our hearts, in our minds, and with our ears, and that we would live what we hear about so that the healing can begin. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I tell you my heart was leaping, I wasn't joking. I really wasn't joking. And I am like, I'm so in love with God because He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And I thank God for that. I look at, you know, the responsibilities that we have, and I'm sorry. This is what we got to do. You know, the ladies have put it plain that we have to live a consistent Christian life. We serve a consistent God. How else could we ever serve God properly but to be consistent? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And in order to have the Christian life that God wants us to have, it must be a consistent one. He says, listen, I need you to be hot or cold. I don't want nobody straddling the fence. I don't need nobody in the middle. I need you to be consistent because I can work with that. If you fluctuating all over the place and you can't figure out what you want to do, I can't do nothing with that. We have to be a Christian example. Who are you ministering to on a regular basis? You need to think about that. Your life is not your own. You cannot do what you want to do and figure, well, you know what, it's not my responsibility. It is your responsibility. Once you say yes to God, you have said yes to the responsibility of being a Christian example. That's why he has you here. That's why we wake up every day to minister for him, in him, and about him. You know, we have to definitely make sure that we are doing what we need to do when it comes to our Bible study. If you don't have the Word of God in you, there is nothing you can do. How do you even know how to move if the Word of God is not in you? Because, see, the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of the Lord brings back to our remembrance what we've read. So, hey, when we step to the east or the west and we have no business stepping to the east or the west, the Spirit of the Lord goes, remember that scripture that said? Don't forget. And that's how we're able to navigate through this life. There's no way in the world we would be able to know which way to go if not for that Word of God. And as the ladies said, listen, the Word of God is right in the palm of our hand. We have been able to leave the house and not have to worry about, oh, man, I left my Bible, because that walks with you each and every moment of the day. You take it on your phone. You take it with your tablet. You take it with your iPad. You take it with your device. Thank God that he has made technology where you ain't never got to leave home without it. Forget about that American Express card. Because, see, that's only going to get you to a certain level. But that Word of God is going to get you all the way there. So that's why we need to make sure we stay in the Word of God. Oh, your right attitude. Well, let's go back. Let's go back like the lady said. Whether you have a consistent life or not, a consistent Christian life, whether we are a Christian example, and whether we study the Bible or not, if our attitude is out of kilter, like they have said, we might as well go ahead and lay down and die, because we will not be able to draw anybody to God. We will not be able to serve God. We will not be able to pay attention to that Word that we're reading, because, again, as we take in the Word of God, as has been said, when we take in the Word of God, then the only thing that can come out is the Word of God. There's no room for your attitude. You know, I always talk about my youngest girl, and I grew up with a sister who was 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You didn't know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, because every time you turned around, there was some fluctuation going on. You're like, well, Dad, you were just happy 5 minutes ago. And now I'm raising a girl that's just like that. And I pray over her life every day that the peace of the Lord would dwell in her, that she wouldn't have to be all over the place. Because sometimes and most times her attitude just plainly stinks. I mean, stinks. And I get to the point, it's like, I don't even want to talk to you because I can't stand that fluctuation. Well, you need to look in the mirror and ask, is that me? Because, see, with her having that type of an attitude is one thing, because she has not claimed to be God's. But for those of us who claim to be God, we have to make sure that we don't have that same fluctuating attitude. Will we go through things? Absolutely. But we must maintain that Christian, be that consistent Christian. And that's what we have to make sure we keep. So we have to put all these components together and make it happen, because Jesus has said so. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes faith. is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my due time crew because they came through strong as always. Pay attention to what they said because they were giving you the words of life. I pray for you, my listeners, and I thank you for being here because without you, we're nothing. We would be talking to ourselves. But thank you for tuning in and enjoying us today because you would not still be here if you were not receiving a word of God that is giving you life. Make sure you accept Jesus if you have not already done so right now because later is not promised to you. All until tomorrow where it's Therapeutic Thursday, God spares our life. Oh, I can't wait to be with you one more time. I love you.